हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
सर्वो पनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपाल नंदन पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धम् गीतामृतम् महत्। This Gita Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, the essence of all the Upanishads, is just like a cow. And Lord Krishna, who is famous as a cowherd boy, is milking this cow. Arjuna is just like a calf. And learned scholars and pure devotees are to drink the nectarian milk of Bhagavad Gita. Right, so establishing that this is Shankaracharya, establishing that the Gita is the essence of all the Vedic literature's essence of the Upanishads, because the Upanishads are the essence of the Veda. The Veda is then established, and then it is then explained, you know, for practical use through then three other branches of the Veda. The Brahmanas, Aranyakas, and the Aranyakas, and the Upanishads. So the Brahmanas will explain the use of the words of the Veda for ritual. The Aranyakas will explain the esoterics of that ritual and of those meanings of the words. And the Upanishads will explain the philosophy. So between these, then you get a proper understanding and practical application. So the Veda is considered the last, like Vedanta, the end of Veda, the end of knowledge. So you have the Veda, so the last word is the Vedanta, so which is the Upanishads. So then the Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Upanishads. So it makes it very, very special, because this Gita then is able to be, appreciated then by everyone. While the Upanishads may or may not be able to be appreciated by anyone, The Bhagavad Gita can be appreciated by everyone because the language is written in. It's very direct. It's used in classical Sanskrit instead of Vedic Sanskrit. And so therefore, the wording is more direct. It's more, main thing would be the wording is more correct. Because the Upanishads always use very obscure terms. You know, what does it mean? He walks, he does not walk. He's close, but he's very far away. That's Upanishadic language. So it's much more kind of meant for those who like to intellectualize. But the Gita is the same knowledge is given there, but very straight. One doesn't have to worry about trying to figure out some obscure meaning to a word that you've never heard of. Right? Like that. So it's very accessible. So here he's saying is that Shankaracharya is saying is that this nectar then is there because of Arjuna, right? The cow gives milk because of the calf, you know. So then, because the calf is there, then the cow is giving this milk, and so Krishna is milking this. So from the Vedas, then you're getting this essence, right? That is there because of Arjuna, because of the devotee, and so now this milk then is available to the great learned scholars and pure devotees. Right, so that they will be able to appreciate it and apply it in their life. Ekam shastram devaki putra gitam, eko devo devaki putra eva, eko mantras tasya namani yani, karmapyekam tasya devasya seva. Gita Mahapya 7. Now the whole world should learn the lessons from the Bhagavad Gita. In this present day, people are very eager to have one scripture, one God, one religion, and one occupation. Therefore, ekam shastram devaki putra gitam. There is one scripture only, one common scripture for the whole world, Bhagavad Gita. Eko devo devaki putra eva. And there is one God for the whole world, Sri Krishna. Eko mantras tasya namani. And one hymn, one mantra only, one prayer, the chanting of his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Karmapyekam tasya devasya seva. There is one work only, the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is then, this is the final verse of the Gita Mahatmya, is established by Shankaracharya. So he's saying is that everything is straightforward. There is one scripture. One scripture can answer all questions. You don't need a second scripture for that. And one religion, that's the service to the Lord, right? Because if you have Krishna, you have all other aspects. Krishna is not another aspect. He is everything. And so any other branch of religion, any other branch of philosophy, everything, will all be taking something from there. Right? But only those worshipping of Krishna have that completeness. Right? Like one mantra. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There's one mantra that does everything because it's the original mantra. There's no mantra before Hare Krishna Mantra. Then from that, then all other mantras expand. The Gayatri mantras expand. Then all the Vedic mantras expand. Everything's expanding from Hare Krishna. So one is chanting Hare Krishna. One is getting the benefit of chanting all the scriptures. Like that. It's already said that someone who is chanting the Gayatri on which the Veda is based, he gets all the benefits of studying all the scriptures. Right? So the Veda itself says that that Brahman who chants the Gayatri mantra, that's his japa, that's his sadhana, then he gets the benefit of studying the whole Veda. Right? And that is coming from Om, which is coming from the Gayatri mantras, which is coming from Kama Gayatri, which is coming from the Hare Krishna mantras. So if you're chanting Hare Krishna, that means automatically you have all the benefits of studying the Vedas. Does that make sense? Because it is the origin, let alone by Gayatri mantra, which is an expansion. Right? It's expansion. From the Maha Mantra comes the Kama Gayatri. From Kama Gayatri will come the Brahma Gayatri. So by chanting the Brahma Gayatri, you get the benefit of all the Vedas. So why wouldn't you get by chanting Hare Krishna, which is the origin of the Brahma Gayatri's origin? Right? Does that make sense? So it's the original mantra. Like that. And then one work, service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So he's saying that if someone understands this, then their life is perfect. Right? So, if one serves the Supreme Lord, one has chants Hare Krishna, one worships Krishna, right? Then, and studies Bhagavad Gita, then what can go wrong? Right? Very straightforward, very open. So, that then, let's see. Page 30. Oops. Yeah. Page 30 of the introduction. Okay. And then before getting into the book, then the only other thing is then the listing of the parampara. So then, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu. Bhagavad Gita 4.2. This Bhagavad Gita as it is received through this disciplic succession. So then they give Krishna, then to Brahma, Narad, Vyas, and Madhva. Then another group they're giving is Padmanabha, Nrihari, Madhva, Madhava, Akshobhya, Jayatirtha, Gyanasindhu, Jayanidhi, Vidyanidhi, Rajendra, Jayadharma, Purushottama. Then Brahmanyatirtha, Vyasatirtha, Lakshmipati, Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, Nityanandana Dvaita, Lord Chaitanya, Rupa, Srupa Sanatan, Raghunath, Jiva, Krishnanath, Narottam, Vishwanath, Baladev, Jagannath, Bhaktivinod, Gorkishore, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. So then this is the line that is coming down. So ours actually comes down quite quickly. 32 we have between here and Krishna. Some of the other sampradayas have a lot more. They're up in the 70s, 80s and that because of just who they're coming down through. Because ours, because, how do you say, Madhva is connected to Vyas, so that goes back quite a way. So right there, there's 5,000 years jump. And then Madhva back to Narad Muni. So then that right there, then you have 150 trillion year jump. So, you know, our parampara is pretty efficient that way. Like that. So Krishna to Brahman, Brahma to Narad, then Narad to Vyas. So, So this is all explained, and we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, all these things. We see Krishna speaking to Brahma, Brahma to Narad, and Narad to Vyas. So we have all these, the actual details of their discussions, their teachings. Then from Padmanabha down to Lakshmipati, then these are all Madhva Acharyas, and in their mat. Then from Madhavendra Puri, then that comes back, that gains the mood or the flavor that is specifically the Gaudiya line. So that's why it'll be Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Right? So then from teachings of Brahma, what is coming down through Madhvacharya. And then within that, then what is specifically in the Gaudiya line. Because right? Otherwise, Narada is speaking to so many persons. Right? And so, but it's the line that from Narad where it's coming to Madhva. And then from there, then Madhavendra Puri, then it's coming down Ishwara Puri, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu, then Lord Chaitanya. Then the Goswamis, Rup, Surup, and Sanatan, then Raghunath Das and Jiva, then it comes down Krishna Das, Narottam, Vishwanath, Baladev, Jagannath, Bhaktivinoda, Gaur Kishore, Bhakti Siddhanta, Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Prabhupada. So, the point to be noted in here, most important, is the element of siksha. Because that is what actually keeps the sampradaya alive, its instructions. It's not ritual. Ritual is important. When it's through initiation, one can perform the ritual. But the specific of initiation is for hearing instruction. Right? As it said, a sadhu is not seen, he's heard. Right? So, the instruction is what one is becoming serious about. So initiation means that one is serious about the instructions, the directions that are there. So this is very obvious in our sampradaya, because Krishna the Brahma, there is that the siksha and diksha line are directly connected there. Brahma to Narad, yes. So then, but as it goes down, then we see that it's not necessarily connected in that way. Like that. Six Goswamis, then there is through instruction. But then Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's already initiated by someone else. He's 90 years old when he comes in contact with everybody here. He's writing Chaitanya Charitamrita. Narottam Das Thakur, he's also some generations later. Vishwanath is 4 generations later. Right? So then Jagannath is also, is not initiated by Vishwanath. Bhaktivinoda is not initiated by Jagannath. Gorkishore not by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktisiddhanta not by Gorkishore. Like that. Means he has, I think, second but not first. Then Prabhupada has both. So then we see again that they both come together. Like that. So it's together at Krishna and Brahma, a few places in between, and now again with Srila Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So there you have the diksha and the siksha line is the same. But otherwise, much of the time we see it's not the same. It doesn't matter. The diksha line, as long as it's bona fide, that's what's important. That's all that's important. But most important is the siksha line, is what are the instructions you are getting. That's what's important. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Diksha Guru is in a bona fide line of the Diksha Pranali, but they don't have anything really to offer in the way of instruction. So therefore, his guru is Jagannath. So we don't see his Diksha Guru in this mentioned here, because he doesn't have anything to offer as the ways of spiritual instruction. That's what Parampara is giving, spiritual instruction. Right? The initiation, then, is to establish that one is serious about following the instructions. That's the meaning. Disciple means to follow the instructions. Right? To speculate on it, do we have to follow this or not? Oh, does it apply now? It's Kali Yuga. You know, being so much more intelligent than the spiritual master, that's actually not the position of disciple. Spiritual master says something, you don't understand how that applies, so you doubt it and think, try to change it or cover it up or just say, yes, yes, that's like, you know, change the subject, you know. You bring up Varnashram, then there's the caste system, and then everybody will speak badly about that, whoever's ever kind of read about it, and which hasn't, no one's really read about it except in the academic circle for the last 50 years. So, you know, the person on the street doesn't even know what you're talking about. So, all these things that we want to adjust, that's not disciple. Disciple is what is instruction is given. That is accepted. But it's not accepted just sentimentally. It's that you know the spiritual master is speaking in the parampara. What he says is true. Krishna is saying it. He's saying it. Right? So what's the problem? So that means if God's saying it and his representative are saying it, then it's just a matter of finding, well, how do I apply this in my life? It's not a matter of I don't understand it, therefore it doesn't apply. Right? Does that make sense? The guy doesn't know how he's going to pay his mortgage, so does that mean now it all just we find something else to do? Oh, we don't have to pay the mortgage at all. Hey, I'll just give him old newspapers. Hey, you know, like that. No, the government will come and take your stuff away. Right? So you can say whatever you like, but one has to understand the government's still there. The three modes of nature managed by Maya under the direction of Krishna is still going to act, and they'll find you no matter where you are and no matter what you're doing. Even you're speculating about, you know, whether this applies or not, you're doing that under the modes of nature, specifically the mode of ignorance. Right? Because you're not seeing things in connection with God. That's the mode of ignorance. Mode of goodness is you see it according to Shastra because this is the correct thing to do. Spiritual means you see it because this is Krishna and this is his representative. Right? So it's not a matter of sentiment. It's actually proper use of intelligence. See, this is what the Gita talks about. Irreligion becomes religion, religion becomes irreligion for someone in the mode of ignorance. Right? Why is this stated? Because then they will take it that my being free in thought not to accept this is actually considered intellectual. Right? I'm given the facts. It's just like this. We come over facts. Okay, your car just, you know, drove off a cliff and is smashed into little pieces. Right? Then if I accept that just as it is from the authority, the police are telling me that, then according to, you know, the academic presentation, I would just be sentimentally just accepting this. Blind acceptance. Right? Right? But if I intellectualize on it and say, well, no, that's not possible. My car wasn't there at that time. You know, it should have been in my garage. Then that is considered great intellectualization. And very free thinking and very, you know, an individual who thinks, you know, himself. He doesn't just go by what other people say. You understand? Now, when we put it in this context, it sounds extremely foolish. But just because we adjust that and now put God and his teachings as the discussion, suddenly now it becomes very solid and very intellectual. You understand? This is illusion. This is the mode of ignorance. This is a mayaya, a pratigyana. Right? Very direct. So think of that next time if you're thinking, that's fanatic to follow. It doesn't actually apply like this. Just remember that point. It's the mode of ignorance, and it's not intellectual. It's actually foolish. I would have used stupid, but I'm trying to reform myself from being so in your face. But that's the word that comes to my mind. So I'm trying these more subtle, finer things so I don't really get anyone too agitated. But it's downright stupid. You know what I'm saying? But that's the thing is that we are like that. That's the conditioned nature. We make mistakes. We're under illusion. So that's why unless it's in line with authority, it will be never anything more than that. Maybe a more sophisticated manifestation of ignorance. That's all. That's the difference. right? The guy is down there. He's out in his backyard. He gets God only knows what, some old corn and this and that, throws it in a bucket and turns it into some local, you know, hooch like that, you know, and then puts it in the back of his pickup, drives down the road, tries to keep away from the feds and like this. And the stuff, you know, probably is a good chance, you know, the lead in it and all that. It'll eventually kill you and all that. But it works, right? But now what he is drinking and the effect it has is no difference than if the thing has been sitting in some, you know, oak keg for the last 25 years and all that, and some guy with a, you know, insured $1 million nose is sniffing it, you know. But it doesn't make any difference, right? He drinks it out in his back, you know, on a porch, on a board, on a bunch of, you know, bricks. And the other guy is in some fancy 5-star hotel. But the effect is the same. It's still the mode of ignorance. It's still intoxication. But the person in the 5-star hotel with a little bit of knowledge, he thinks he's so far superior, you know, to that, you know, who the hell calls the... Moonshiner. Yeah, the moonshiner, yeah, like that. So then, but that's the thing, the difference, right? So that's all that's happening. Is you put a few letters behind your name and they figure they're so much better than anybody else, even though they're thinking the same foolishness. So they're just as foolish. Just they can say it in very eloquent language, that's all. You know, like the doctor can tell you something, you know, you need to blow your nose, and he'll tell you in so much language, you won't even understand what he's talking about. You know? Does that make sense? So that makes them feel superior. But in the point is, ultimately, it doesn't matter. Because foolishness is foolishness. Like that. So it's very, very important to understand this, that why would this be put in here? Because this is the line that is coming down. This is the authority. So it's not sentimental. We think that if anybody does things as a group, it's sentimental, it's just blind. No, actually, that's a social scene, right? You find amongst animals, there's basically two kinds of animals. They're identified, those who socially work together, those who don't. It's like the difference between foxes and jackals. Jackals live together as a group, foxes don't. Otherwise, there's not much difference between them. In the 30 kinds of foxes and jackals, that's how you tell the difference, really. Because jackals, you know, you don't hear foxes out howling at the moon, right? Jackals, you do. And then they all do it together. One starts over here. The rest of his group starts. That starts the next group over, you know, the Goshala side. And that starts the one that's up here in Gornagar side, right? And, you know, it goes through the same pattern every time, right? So that's the thing. You have those who are social. You have those who are not social, right? You understand? So all it is that if you think on your own, seemingly, then that's supposedly superior. Then if you think, and others also think the same thing. But if what they're thinking is correct, is it a problem if many people think that? You have to have your own philosophy different from someone else. That makes you stand out on your own. But then what does that make stand out? Your intelligence, not the soul. Right? It's not based on soul. It's based on intellect only. And so therefore your identity is because your intellect is seemingly different from what is coming up with someone else's intellect. So therefore you have to have that difference. But the Vedic thing is no, it's based on the soul. Souls all think the same thing. They all understand the philosophy in the same way. There's not a difference. It's only when the soul identifies with the body, you know, the mind, body, mind, and intelligence, then he thinks differently from everybody else. So actually, if we're professing that, well, no, you're just going along with the crowd, what they're doing is professing material consciousness, not spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness means you can have millions of people who think the same thing, but they're doing it as an individual. That's what's unique about spiritual life, is you can be doing what everybody else does, but be a complete individual in yourself. You're doing it because of your own determination. Right? And if these persons say, well, you know, they're not actually doing it, they're just doing it because everyone else does, whose fault is that? The person complaining is supposed to be the intellectual. So that means the intellectual is supposed to be a teacher. So that means if they don't know, you haven't taught them. Right? Because if everybody else knows, then what's your position as an academic? You're nothing special. Everybody else is one also. You understand? So it's all the mode of ignorance. Like that. But it's cloaked in a veneer of, you know, intelligence. But it's not actually intelligence. Right? It's just the mode of ignorance. It's just another manifestation of the mode of ignorance. That's all. Like that. Does that make sense? Like that. So, the parampara, therefore, the most important thing is the siksha pranali. So that is our line, and we're not worried about the diksha pranali. If somebody pushes the diksha pranali is more important, as will be that's the thing that you'll find about the sahajiyas and these babajis, Radhakun and Govardhan, like this. They push diksha pranali because that's all they got. They don't got anything else. So they're simply there, or the Goswamis. Oh, we're coming in the line from Advaitacharya, or we're coming in the line from this one or that one. All these different things. But it's just, they came in the line. What's the point? Right. Gopal Bhatta Goswami, then he made some pujaris for his temple. Then the children and grandchildren like that of those pujaris, then they claim we're in the line of Gopal Bhatta. But the point is they may be physically in that line. And they may have the diksha connection in that line. But do they have the instructions in that line? Are they living as Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave? You understand? So, now and again you may bump into this thing of diksha pranali, but don't take it seriously. It's only for sahajiyas, actually. They take it seriously. Sahajiyas, caste Goswamis, apasampradaya people. Because they haven't actually understood the teachings of the sampradaya. Therefore, all they have is the diksha, and therefore, for their own prestige, they have to bring that out. Otherwise, why does it matter? Why does it matter? If you have the instructions, then you know what to do. Okay? Does this make sense? Any questions on this? Yes.
Maharaj, in one letter, Prabhupada said that we have to be independently thoughtful.
We have to be independently thoughtful, yes.
Could you explain what he means?
What does independently thoughtful mean? We on our own have, in our own, utilizing our own independence, we have thought about these points that are there in the Shastras. And we've understood them. Their importance, and we're trying to apply them in our own life. So independently, we're following that process. That's self-realization. Self-realization means the individual self is trying to further his realization of the Supreme. Right? Community means where you have a group of those people. Right? Or Goshti Anandi means where you have... Goshti Anandi is where a group of Bhajan Anandis come together to how to preach. Right? A bhajan anandi then is someone who is proficient in his own bhajan. Right? Now when such a person then gets together with other bhajan anandis on how to spread this to others, they're called ghosti anandis. Right? So it doesn't mean a ghosti anandi is not good at bhajan. He is. Otherwise how does he give it to others? You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. You have taste, you can give taste. You have no taste, you won't give taste. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's an individual. So community is a group of individuals who have the same value system. So the individuals, by studying the Shastras, have come to the same conclusion. Right? And then, because of that, then they associate with one another, and therefore there's a society. You know, so this, you know, just blind acceptance is that, that's not what we do. Right? We don't function on that. Some people may prefer it like that, but we don't function like that. Is that okay? Yeah? Anything else? Yes. Brahma, say again?
Mantra is all the influence Brahma Gayatri mantras.
Yes.
So why is this called still the practice
Why would be the question of being satisfied by that? Why would there be a question? Why would you present it that way? Why would you want to say we should be satisfied?
Why we need getting particularly this Brahma Gayatri mantra?
Because the point is Brahma Gayatri is a manifestation of the that same spiritual nature, but through the form of the Vedic form, which in therefore includes how to engage our mundane nature. You understand? So the problem is not the mantra. The problem is us. You know what I'm saying? So the mantra is transcendent. Mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra can do everything, but the problem is we're not appreciating that. So these other mantras are there to ensure that it goes nicely. Because when you establish yourself in the mode of goodness, then these Gayatris and that work, then they're able to help one get beyond. The Brahma Gayatri helps one get out of the material world, right? It situates you off the bodily platform. The other Gayatris, then they give specific to the direction of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Right? That makes sense. So it's very specific. What is the relationship with Godhead? So they're necessary for us. The Pancharatra keeps us out of trouble. It regulates our life so that we stay away from sinful activities. And then the Vedic activities then engage our conditioned nature, you know, beyond just the devotional, but into areas that are distraction. In other words, you're supposed to always remember Krishna, not forget him. So the Pancharatra is how to always remember Krishna. The Vedic is how to not forget him. You understand? So like that, then it's there. But unfortunately, it takes some purity and sophistication to be able to take advantage of these mantras. Right? Because the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, being the origin, doesn't need any qualification. But the Gayatri mantras do require qualification. You have it, they'll work. You don't have it, they don't work. You know, it's like the Maha Mantra, you know, the Hare Krishnas are going by and you're standing on the side with your friends just joking about it. Ah, Hare Krishnas, it still works. You do that with the Gayatri mantra, it won't do anything. You know what I'm saying? So it depends on qualification. That's why it's given later. Because even you've received initiation, the first initiation, you're not liberated in acting on the platform of Brahma Bhuta. So therefore, these other mantras help you get there. Is that okay? Okay. You had something?
When you mentioned about the Shiksha importance, is it possible to advance without Diksha at all?
Is it possible to advance without Diksha? Intellectually, yes, but the point is then why wouldn't one take Diksha? What would be the reason not to? You know what I'm saying? It's one's own attachments, it's one's own issues. So because of that, then how is Krishna going to take it seriously that you actually want to have a relationship? Because it's not about you and Krishna, it's about you and your issues, right? Because the thing is, one could say, well, I can't find anybody to surrender to, but then that maybe it's a problem of we can't see. Not that people don't exist. We can't see. We're blind. You know, it's the same. Is the glass half full or half empty? Like that. So if you want to find fault, you can find fault in everyone. Duryodhana was asked to find one good man. He couldn't find one good man because in every man he could find a fault. Even if it was very small, but he could find one. And Yudhishthira was asked to find one bad man. He couldn't find one because even the worst people had some good quality. Right? You understand? So like that. So many people don't get initiated because they seem to follow more in Duryodhana's parampara. So they'll never find it. It's not that I can't find. No, they're unqualified to find. They're thinking, they're proud of themselves. I'm using my intelligence, this, that. I can't find someone. No, you're unqualified. And not only that, Krishna will actually keep you from finding someone. Right? Krishna walked right up to the yogic Brahmins in Vrindavan. They didn't recognize his God. But the wise did. So it's that simple. Otherwise, any of the spiritual masters are bona fide, they can take you back to Godhead. Because why? Because of the instruction. What is their instruction? Is it their own instruction? No, it's Srila Prabhupada's instruction. That's why the books are the basis. These books are here for 10,000 years. Because the whole movement's going to run off of these books. Others may write things to make it more understanding of what's in these books. But these books are the center. So as long as someone's giving these books, then the siksha of the parampara is intact. Right? So therefore, that's what they're speaking. And as long as they're speaking that, they're bona fide. They don't speak that, they leave the society, then they're not gurus, in our viewpoint. Does that make sense? They're bona fide as long as they're connected to Srila Prabhupada. They disconnect themselves there, they're not bona fide. Right? Because otherwise, what's the standing? That's the reason you see in all of the sampradayas, that's all what it works. Today, the Madhvacharyas who are giving initiation, they're only speaking Madhva's philosophy. Same with the Sri Vaishnavas, same with the Nimbarkas, Vallavas, same with the Shankaras. It's just the system in this age. You have an Acharya that he speaks whatever anybody in his line needs to speak. And therefore you know it's right. So the person, you may like his qualifications or not. You may have made him a devotee. So what? If he's speaking what Prabhupada says, then it's bona fide. So they can all take you back to Godhead. Because it's the instructions that take you back to God. Those instructions are coming from Prabhupada. Like that. Does that make sense? So to not be able to find a spiritual master, then there's something wrong. It's not the problem with the spiritual masters. It's not a problem with the process. It's a problem with the individual. They have issues. They're not sincere. They're not serious. They're, they're too mental. It's all about themselves. But in any case, as long as they're in the society associating, then they'll make advancement. But it's not going to be taken seriously until they do surrender. Because if you can't surrender to the spiritual master, how will you surrender to Krishna? Because the spiritual master surrendered to his spiritual master, then the whole parampara, then it goes up to, Radharani, then it goes to Krishna. So if you can't make the first step, how is anybody else going to have faith that you're going to make any steps in between? We have to remember, Krishna is a person, that his eternal associates are people. And they look at these things. You're not initiated, then what's wrong? You're not committed. So it's nice, but it's not going to be that serious or that intimate. How close can you be if you won't surrender? You understand? So that's why it's important. Like that, yes?
I was just listening to what he was saying. After I asked him who his spiritual master was, he said, "Oh, you're my spiritual master. I have so many spiritual masters. Everyone's my spiritual master."
That's nice. That's good. But still, he should have, somebody prominent.
He was explaining his philosophy that he thinks that Islam is too much focus on the Dikshagiri and that we shouldn't, surrender to one person, something like that.
And where does he get this philosophy from?
His service is...
No, where did he get this philosophy from? Yes, so the point is that who's given the idea that there should be Diksha? That's Srila Prabhupada. Otherwise, what do we know about Diksha, how to open a can of beans or how to turn on the telly, like that. These kind of things we may be expert at, But Diksha and these kind of things, that's not something that's, part of our natural vocabulary, isn't it? He's using the knowledge given by Prabhupada, he's learned from Prabhupada, against Prabhupada. So these are useless. nice. He's trying to be nice and see everybody, you know, like that. He's not, you know, independent. But that just that's just pranamoy. That's all. You know, everybody's nice. Everybody has it like this and that. It's pranamoy. He's appreciating life or the devotional life, but it's not specific. Yeah, no, I'll do those things, but why is he doing that?
He revealed his philosophy was that the real guru is, you know, the eternal one in the spiritual that actually introduced you into the pastimes.
The eternal one there, but that eternal one happens to come down here. You know, where does he get this stupid philosophy? He prints all these books, but it appears he's either never read them or never understood them. And because of this philosophy, he never will. So all those books represent to him is how he keeps those cans of beans on his table. That's all. It's money for him. Bus. Finished. That's all the more benefit he'll get from it. He won't get anything else. You can't. How will you get? The only guru is the eternal guru of death. That could be anybody. But the point is nobody from there is going to introduce you into your surup unless you have a spiritual master. You know, we're talking here, you know, we've heard the line, you know, being chased to the, you know, the spiritual master, the line and things. That they look at that kind of stuff. We're the ones that are these nice, you know, impersonalistic, oh, everything's all Brahman, it doesn't matter, it's all one. But that's what this philosophy is. Just an, it looks a little bit more personal. But so does Christianity. So does all these other things. They appear personal, but they're not. You ask them, who's God? What does he look like? Oh, he has no form. So what is that one guru who, you know, there's one guy and he's the only one that goes around and everybody who comes on, hey, another one just showed up. You know, and then he goes over and tells them who they are.
That's what he was saying, you know, that everyone's just a kind of instructor until you actually meet the eternal one that's in the spiritual world.
But where is the spiritual world? Where is the spiritual world? Right? As we mentioned, is Dhanakasura in the spiritual world? He's in Vrindavan, but is he in the spiritual world? No. So that's the point. How will he ever know what the spiritual world is? Because the point is your own spiritual master is the one that's going to instruct you in this. Can be the Diksha or Siksha, but it's on that level of Sadguru. He hasn't surrendered to Sadguru. That's the point. Is he's taking everybody, but those are the preachers. They're all gurus. That's there. So he has the Adi Guru, okay, he has Prabhupada. He has the preachers, but he doesn't have the Sadguru in the middle. Right? And the point is, Diksha Guru is on that level. Siksha Gurus may be on that level. But he doesn't have anyone on that level. So he's not actually surrendered. So no one from the spiritual world will take him seriously. They won't. No one would trust a guy like that. Because who is this guru he's talking about? The one, the thing. What is this, the one? Where else do we hear about the one? What people talk about the one? Okay? Yeah, New Age, you know, the guys in the Matrix, you know, the Mayavadis, they all talk about the one. You know what I'm saying? The point is there is the concept of it, but that concept actually is a person. So you can't just work on the concepts. Krishna says, once you understand, it means we're looking at gross matter. But we have to understand gross matter is manifest based on eternal principles. Right? And so you must see those eternal principles. So it breaks the idea that this one particular kind, manifestation of matter is actually important. To actually know that's just one of a pattern of millions of, or unlimited amounts of that. That's come from the Supreme. So now it takes it out of the, out means out of the material. Because now the form of it and the origin of it, now are you dealing on the transcendental. You're not even dealing with the matter. But Krishna says, once you've come to that understanding, still he as a person is beyond that. So that is used to get yourself out of the mundane, but he as a person is what gets you into the spiritual. You won't get into the spiritual world by talking about the one. You know what I'm saying?
Even if he thinks that each person has a different one.
It doesn't matter, because the thing he's saying is there, but the point is why would anybody show up and talk to you there if you can't surrender anybody here? You're the same person. If you can't surrender here, you won't be able to surrender there either. You know, it's not some magic. You know, like that. Magic meaning that there's some mystique and illusion about it. That's a mistake. No, it's mercy that it happens. So that's the magic. But the point is you as a person have to want that. And if you don't want that, you're not going to get it. It's not possible. So one has to surrender here. Because the point is he's saying, oh, you're my spiritual master, everybody's my spiritual master. But does he follow any of their instructions? No. So therefore, it's a joke that he's saying they're a spiritual master. You know, maybe he's gotten that from 11th canto of the Python Sadhu. But that Python Sadhu is liberated. He is liberated, and he is taking the instructions that are given by his 22 gurus, and he is making that his life and soul, and therefore he's getting results. So there's no conditioning to get in the way. This devotee sounds like there possibly is some conditioning. Yes, of course. So that's my point, is they're unsurrendered. All it is a clever way to keep themselves independent. Because everybody's a guru, then nobody's his guru, therefore he can do whatever he wants. And come up with his own philosophy. Yeah, that's all. It's just a clever trick, that's all. It has nothing to do with spiritual life. It's just the standard trick of avoiding authority, that's all. Many people do it. Con artists do it all the time. You know, it's a pretty standard, you know, side. It's not a major theme. Within, you know, just the mundane, you know, stream of behavior. Like that. So it's nothing special. You know, and he shouldn't think it's something special, elevate. Because he's read all these other books doesn't mean he understands anything about it. Otherwise, he would have understood, you're not in the line, nobody up there cares about you. They just don't want to, they're not going to want to know anything about you. Why? Because you don't technically want to know anything about them, because surrender means you do what they say. You know, they're sitting there fanning Radha and Krishna, you're pulling the rope, fanning in the kunja like that. You're in ecstasy, and Rupa walks in and says, hey, leave the rope, go out and do this. You know? And then it's like, you know, hey, what? I'm so happy here, I'm doing this. Why is Rupa telling me these things? Who does Rupa think he is? You know? Like that. You know what I'm saying? You could find all kinds of things like that. You know, Rupa's on, may only be a year and a half older than you. You know, like that. And so you can find so many excuses why you shouldn't be. Or I'm already doing service. I'm engaged in service. Why I should leave the service for another service? You know, each service is good enough. So why would they want you around? Yeah, it's just a disturbance. The point is that Radha and Krishna are enjoying now. That's nice, but that pastime is going to end, and another pastime is going to start, and it has to be ready. So therefore, go make it ready. Like anybody can pull the fan at this point. You have to go do this. You know. So you can say, you know, so are we going to have authority issues here? You know. If so, one stays here. One does not go there. Because in the spiritual world, there is authority, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts. That's all. Right? You have a rasa dance. How many people are involved in this rasa dance? 2, 3, 5, 10? Hundreds, thousands. Now, can you imagine what arrangements you have to make for thousands of people to take part in the rasa dance? Right? You know what I'm saying? Do they just bring out a big boom box and plug it in and then, you know, Haribo, it's happening? You know? Like that? Maharas and each group brings their own boom box that they put in the circle, right? And then they go for it, you know, like that. Yeah? Is that how it works? No. So, therefore, they have to get things out. It's a beach. You have to sweep it. You have to make things ready. Right? So there's a lot of work to do there, right? So then, you know, this is not, you know, something happening in Central Park with rollerblades, right? Okay. So, and that happens. And a pastime changes generally every 20 minutes. So you know how much work that is? So there's management there, serious management. And so, you know, you're told to go get a broom and sweep. You go get a broom and sweep. You don't think, well, I was actually thinking that I would rather, you know. No, that's what you do. But because it's all in line with Krishna, everybody's very satisfied. So that's why these things don't come up so much, because then you just think, oh, this is mundane management like here. So therefore only the pleasantness, the sweetness is brought out. But those that are there, this is, what's the medium for pleasantness and sweetness? Just sitting around and being pleasant and sweet? You know, that's what most people do. That's why you're in a good mood. You can't keep up the good mood because then you bump into reality. And then, so how do you maintain that good mood and express it through interaction with others? They don't know how to do that because they don't actually know the science of relationships. So that moment is lost. But if you know the science, it can always go on. Does that make sense? You know, so that same happiness, the same confidence, that same focus, determination, that same freedom from anxiety can always be there. It just has different manifestations. You understand? So you're dealing with consciousness here. You don't have the consciousness. You don't get there. You stay here. Conscious mundane, you stay here. Conscious spiritual, go there. You know, a little few stories from here and there. That's not going to, who cares? You know? It's just like somebody comes up to you and says, I want to be your friend. And he says, you know, I don't know you from Adam. Yeah, but I know that when you were 3 years old and your mommy did this and that and it like that. It's like, so? You know, it's like, what do you care? You know? I don't know who this guy is. You know, so why? You know, so what? You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. Just because you've read all these things doesn't mean the people in the spiritual world take you very seriously. Because you have to be connected to the line that is coming down from them. Right? We see here. Nitya, Madhavendra Puri, right? So that's, you know, Divya Vrindad and Yakalpa Drumara. That Kalpa Drumara, that's Madhavendra Puri, right? So that's our Dhyanam on Vrindavan. Right there, it starts with the tree, with Madhavendra Puri, right? Then you have Radha and Krishna sitting under the tree. Then you have all their associates, right? So here we have Madhavendra Puri. Then we have Nityananda and Advaita. Then we have Lord Chaitanya, right? So only through, you know, the spiritual master and his other, do you even know Lord Chaitanya? Then we have Rupa, then it also has Sarupa and Sanatana. Sarupa is Sarupa Damodar. Right? So this is the line. Then you have Raghunath, Jiva, and then the others coming down. So if you want to be in that line serving Lord Chaitanya, Radha, and Krishna, then you're going to have to be serving under Rupa and Rati. You're going to have to be serving under to Lalita and Vishaka, or Sarupa Damodar and Ramananda Rai. So if you're not in their line, why would they want you around? They have a particular service they do for Krishna. There's unlimited services you could be doing. That's fine. You have your, I do this, I do that. Great, but go find where it fits. They have a particular service. You want to be involved in their service, you have to be in line with their mood. You're not in line with their mood. How are you going to serve? It's practical. It's straightforward. These are real people. These are real life situations. Just they're working in the eternal platform instead of the temporary, like here. Everything you work with here falls apart. You find a nice, you know, Arctic lamp, and it's great. But after 10 years, it starts to fall apart. And the spiritual world doesn't fall apart. But the principle of being there and the importance and that commitment to be doing the Arctic, that remains the same. So you don't have it here, you're not going to have it there. You know, it's not that the Arctic changes or something. Circles are a different shape there or something. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah, so I like that. Okay, so is this clear? This is, right? Because it needs to be clear, because when we go into the Gita, then we're hearing it according to the cyclic succession. So it's not a matter, it's a matter of how to understand it, not that, well, I don't know if actually this information is actually, you know, important or not, or valuable or not, or real or not. No. That when we pass page 31 and go to 33, then we have to have it that you, like Arjuna, have accepted that, you know, this is what's going on. Right? This is the knowledge. This is everything. Then the study of Gita will have meaning. Otherwise, it'll just be something else you studied, you've gone through, you memorized, and this and that. Just like you did in high school or college or where, you know, wherever is your last academic experience. But remember, none of those things you use in your life. The Gita, study of Gita means it is used in your life. It changes your life. That's the difference. The parampara study will change your life. You know, and if it's not, then it's nice information, nice stuff, great stuff. But, you know, that's all the farther it'll get, great stuff. Is that clear? Yeah? Okay, so that's why it ends with that point. Otherwise, why does Prabhupada put in the parampara?
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivrinda ki, Jainitai Gaurav Premanandi.